Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Toon Jam. I'm Matt.
And I'm Jamin.
And today we are asking another Toon query.
It's the cartoon conundrums, is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. A cartoon conundrum. So in these we ask ourselves a question about cartoons and aim to answer that by the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Try and mix it up a little bit, you know. It's the start of a new month.
Why not?
So today we are asking, can an animated series outshine the film that it's based on or the movie that it's based on? Mm. So we're sort of looking at animated series that are based on movies and kind of asking, I guess, you know,
How good are they in comparison? Yeah,
is it a good idea to do? Hmm. Can it be done well, or is it?
Are they all trash?
You know, are they all trash, or are they all trash? Is it always done well on the reverse side? So let's dig in. So we've got a massive list of sort of things. So we've got obviously there's sort of two layers to it. There's the films of already existing animated. The series of animated films.
Yeah.
So, you know, Disney obviously is a big one when it comes to that. You've got like Aladdin, Timon and Pumbaa.
Yeah.
Tarzan, Hercules, Little Mermaid, Emperor's New School, Lilo and Stitch, Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. Obviously, that's quite present because they've done a new one and you seem to see a lot of memes of people not happy about that. Then there's 101 Dalmatians, and there's loads. Mm. And that's just Disney. So you've got other things like Jimmy Neutron, Ozzy and Drix.
Yeah.
And many more. I'm sure we'll pop a few more out as we're talking about it. So let's talk about these first before we go to live action.
What are your sort of memories of this sort of Disney animated series in comparison to the films? Like, do you have fond memories of series that you watched?
Yeah, I do. And I think sometimes your memories almost blur because especially with the Disney ones, because they obviously tried to keep them quite in line.
Yeah.
At least to a degree. So that you, I mean, they always felt like a bit weird. Like, where does this sit?
Yeah,
in the movies, but I think they often tried to kind of explain that. So like Aladdin, Iago, who was Jafar's parrot, he was like one of the gang,
right?
Obviously, he's a villain in the movie.
Yeah, that's weird.
But then I think Return of Jafar, we saw him become one of the good guys.
Ah.
So in that sense, they kind of tried to bring it that way.
Yeah.
Timon and Pumbaa, obviously that was just, it was all pre-Simba.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember watching that one quite a lot. I think I had that on video and I do remember enjoying that. And it feeling like it was fine, like the way that it fit in it, because it was just those two out on their adventures, you know, it's just the Lion King was, you know, elsewhere, that like, that's going to happen sometime or whatever. But yeah, you could easily jump on board with that, because
yeah,
I think we talked a bit before about the continuity and how it confuses you as a kid. Like, you need guides of like, where does this fit in then? Because
usually... just to make to like, you're happy about it then.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think often and sometimes, so take like Hercules. Obviously, this was set when he was in high school.
Right. Yeah.
So he was kind of just starting out on his mission. So it kind of takes place in the midst of his montage.
Mm.
So he's got, you know, he's being trained, but he's at school. So it's got all the same characters in it. He's trying to become a hero, but he's a bit scrawny.
Yeah.
And it's got basically every character you can imagine from Greek mythology in it.
Right.
At some point. But then you kind of start to think, well, there's relationships in the movie that he has, like with the gods and stuff. And it's like, actually, he knows them quite well by now.
So it kind of, yeah, ruins the movie almost.
Yeah, it? Yeah. And you kind of like, you accept the series, but then when you go back to the movie, you're kind of like, well, this is a bit wrong because I know what happened before.
Yeah, yeah.
So kind of, in a way, like the amount you've seen of the series kind of makes that the one that you rely on.
Yeah, yeah. I think that I guess that's always the issue there, isn't it, with the when you're converting it to a show, because you immediately there's an imbalance there of how much you're going to take in. You're getting so much more story for your series and stuff. And lots of different sort of avenues and routes that, like, you know, maybe they are going to kind of write themselves into corners and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I mean, I guess that's always the problem with doing a prequel, isn't it? Is like,
yeah,
you're then writing away stuff that you kind of already got down somewhere else. So,
and I think as far as, you know, it is for a younger audience,
though
they, you know, they will pick up on it.
Yeah.
They're less likely to be like, no, I'm not accepting it. And there will be some that always will. But then you, so I mean, then you have like the sequel series. So like The Legend of Tarzan.
Yeah.
And Lilo and Stitch, Emperor's New School, they're all sequel ones. Tarzan, I used to watch quite a lot. I remember liking that. And that was interesting because they added more things from sort of, you know, old, like more in the style of the old pulp, the old radio. So it was like, you know, magical cheetah goddesses and all these weird, strange jungle adventures that obviously the film was pretty down to earth.
Yeah.
You know, it was a gorilla hunter, a jaguar.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then the gorillas, as far as down to earth as a talking elephant can be, you know, whatever. But you know what I mean? So that added something new to it, I think, that you might never have really gotten in the films.
Yeah. That's quite cool. That's quite a cool way to do it, to just kind of expand on the sort of, like, I guess everything really, like the ideas of this, you know, the show and the, I guess the property really, like that is a cool way to do it. Cause I always think prequels in general are problematic. So I think, you know, the better ones may be ones where you've seen, like the film is your origin point really. It's like you start there and then you can go to other places sort of thing.
And then you've got like Lilo and Stitch as well. I remember watching that and that was interesting because obviously they kind of played on the fact that Stitch's whole name, you know, his technical name was 626. So he was experiment 626. So essentially every episode was a different experiment that they were trying to contain.
Right.
Found its way to Hawaii.
Yeah.
So you kind of had just, it was all set afterwards, but a different, you know, a different Stitch every episode.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's quite a cool one.
So, you know, as a kid, you're kind of like, oh, what's the next one going to be?
That's quite cool.
You're limited to 625 episodes, which is plenty.
Yeah. Real barrier.
Yeah. So, like, some were good, some were bad, and it was always interesting. But then you've got like an interesting one, especially now, and we've covered it before, Buzz Lightyear of Star Command.
Yeah.
So as I remember, we were a bit in the middle when we rewatched it. I used to love it when it was on. But this is sort of the adventures of the character Buzz Lightyear that the toy is based on, which is exactly what the film is now.
Yeah.
And they were pretty into, they were very like very sci-fi. I mean, we watched a Christmas episode, so that kind of, I think, took the shine off
the sci-fi element.
Off the sort of concept. But it had Zurg, you know, it had the little green men, it had everything you wanted.
Yeah.
But it was like space adventures.
Yeah.
And I think almost in a way, like I say, there's been a lot of memes and a lot of things on the internet of people kind of not liking the idea of the new Buzz Lightyear, either just because it's not Tim Allen, which I think is pretty ridiculous because, I mean, this one wasn't Tim Allen.
No.
Or if it, because it wasn't this.
Yeah.
You know, and when, do you know, like visually, without having seen the film yet, say you've just seen the trailer, which I have, and then I've watched this, you kind of think, well, you know, just visually, it doesn't look as good.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't look as exciting. Like, there's no, it looks very stark. And, I think, you know, space travel and sci-fi is really interesting, but I don't think, like, you know, space landing on Mars and the moon and stuff is still very exciting.
Yeah, it's very desolate, isn't it?
Like, yeah, and that's, you don't want to see someone just on a rock.
No, just emptiness.
Yeah, that's, and so, and I think the old one, it had all these different planets and stuff.
There's a lot more of the aliens and stuff in it, wasn't there?
And, and his team had aliens on it and stuff like that. And they were all interesting and they had their different backgrounds and... And there's all that to kind of play off.
I guess it's always going to be down to people's preference, though, isn't it? And then I guess a lot of people also forget that, you know, a lot of these sort of like properties did have like a spin-off series as well. Like, as we've been looking at the lists, we've kind of been like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Like, you just kind of, it's almost like they're a little bit out of fashion now, like in the way that.
You don't see, I mean, this, they do it again, they do it on Disney every now and again, but it's rare, it's definitely rarer. I think they've got a Tangled one,
right?
Is possibly the most recent. I bet there's probably more recent. I mean, there's the things like the Baymax series and stuff like that, which they've done. Like, they've done Big Hero 6 cartoons, and the Baymax series is like the new one that's just come out on Disney Plus. Is sort of, you know, it's the same people, they're shorts, with Baymax in. So, and there's stuff like that.
Yeah, we did cover, Monsters at Work at one point as well.
Yeah, of course, which was a sequel, you know, where it's a sequel. And they've just announced a second season of it.
And that was, with that one, it seemed that they kind of got rid of that hurdle where it was like the voice actors, because that always seems to be issue for some people, even as a kid. When you were watching Aladdin, you realize, oh, that's not Robin Williams.
Yeah. I mean, look at like Toy Story. To be fair, I do remember when I watched Buzz Lightyear, because they did, what I think the problem with that was that they did the first three episodes as a movie.
Right.
And then they released the series. So the movie, when it was on DVD, you could watch, I'm sure you could watch both versions, and one of them was done with Tim Allen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right.
Which, you know, so you watch that, and then you watch the series, and it's Patrick Warburton. And you're just like, what? Why? Like, it's so different. But then, as I got used to it, he became Buzz Lightyear, because he's Buzz Lightyear for longer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's a lot of that. Like, it just takes getting used to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But you didn't have the internet as a kid, so you just had to lump it.
Exactly. But I guess with Monsters at Work, they got everyone back, didn't they?
Yeah,
and it was like, it really felt like an actual continuation of the film.
Yeah.
As well as the quality was basically on par as well, which I guess that's always a big thing of like whether it's successful or not, is because, you know, back in the day, obviously, like, Pixar quality was, you couldn't really do that as a TV series.
No.
Like, that was impossible to get a show to look like that, like, episode
in. And what's interesting about that as well is that you've got, so it still had the sort of feel of a series. It didn't feel like a movie sequel.
Yeah.
Which I think is nice when they do that. But it's also the showrunner. He did a lot of these shows like Aladdin and Timon and Pumbaa. And I don't know which ones he did specifically, but he did quite a few of the Disney ones.
Right, yeah.
Which we did talk about on the episode. So you can catch that over on our YouTube if you want to cover that. But, you know, that's got the information that you need there.
Yeah.
I can't quite remember now. But, yeah, so it's still kind of got that same sort of feel.
Mm.
But and I think so that's a case of, like, even when it's not done to the same level necessarily, Disney are taking it quite seriously.
Yeah.
But let's move on from, like, the animated ones, which clearly, you know, they had a bit of a, you know, they had a lot of them at Disney. There are others, you know, there's like Kung Fu Panda, Penguins in Madagascar and stuff, which are a bit later, which are also quite, I mean, Penguins in Madagascar, just to quickly touch on it, I think is better than the Madagascar films.
Right.
That is hilarious. So, and again, you have some different voices thrown in there.
Yeah.
And it becomes weird when you watch the film. It's like two of them are the same and then two of them aren't.
All right. Yeah, that's a weird mix.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, let's move on to live action movies. Because this is where I think it gets more interesting. Because obviously it's so easy to make a cartoon of an animated film.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. But when you're doing an animated series of a live action movie, that's not even necessarily geared towards kids, which you see a lot in the 80s.
Yeah.
And sort of in the 90s a bit as well. But let's go a few of you. Obviously, Ghostbusters is a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've covered that. And I think they did it in a way that they had the right balance, didn't they?
Mm.
So obviously, Ghostbusters was really popular with kids. And I think the film itself is kind of like, you kind of forget that it's a comedy film.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like an adventure film, isn't it, as well?
Definitely.
And it has a good balance. But obviously, that adventure stuff lends heavily into the Ghostbusters. And I remember seeing way more of the cartoon as a kid than I did the movies. And it almost seems weird when you see Slimer in the movie and he's not one of the gang.
Yeah. Yeah, that always confused me.
Yeah. But then there's others. So just to go through a few, Karate Kid.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
But I don't think I've seen that one.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching that. Back to the Future.
Yeah, it's a Back to the Future one. Yeah.
Ace Ventura.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just that one. So there's Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber, yeah. This is Jim Carrey's been immortalized as a cartoon many times.
Yeah. Jumanji, I remember that being quite big. And that ran from 96 to 99, so.
All right.
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Men in Black.
Yeah, I remember watching the Men in Black series. Yeah.
And then you've got sort of more adult ones, so Clerks.
Yeah.
Black Dynamite, Napoleon Dynamite.
Or the Dynamite.
Rambo.
Yeah, Rambo.
Rambo.
I did not know that was an animated series. Like, why didn't they choose? That's such a strange one to choose. Like,
yeah, that is like the real, I mean, what are the movies? Are they 15 or 18?
I think they're 18.
R-rated, easy.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You got Spaceballs, Tron.
Tron, yeah.
Police Academy, which is bizarre.
That's odd, yeah.
We've watched Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
RoboCop. Yeah. And then this one's pretty amazing, Friday.
Yeah. Who knew that? I did not know that was a series.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, this is just to name a few. There's so many. I don't want to just sit here listing them for you. But, I mean, yeah, like we said, I mean, Ghostbusters, I think, is probably the best example there of a translation.
Yeah.
That's possibly even, you know, you look at the popularity of Ghostbusters, and I think the cartoon has got to be a massive part of that.
Yeah, especially since the cartoon then had, like, you know, you've got like Extreme Ghostbusters and stuff, like,
yeah,
the cartoon
yeah.
itself then had continuations and stuff.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that we've not had another one. I do think we'll see another one soon with the new film being quite popular.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's such a big... I mean, it's a franchise, isn't it, Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge.
But, you know, all the toys and stuff that came out of it, they were all from the cartoon. I just remember having this toy of, like, a grandma.
just action grandma.
Yeah, and, like, you pressed a button and then a head flipped over or something, like, something on top of red and a tongue, like, shot out.
Oh, yeah. They were all, like, kind of spooky, weren't they?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Stories. Yeah, do you vaguely remember something?
I remember quite enjoying the Back to the Future cartoon.
Hmm. I don't remember much of it.
No, I do remember watching it. I think the interesting thing is that a lot of these I've seen but don't remember very well.
Right.
Which I think, obviously you remember Ghostbusters, but, you know, a lot of them we've listed. The Jim Carrey ones have stayed with me quite a lot.
Yeah.
Obviously we've covered Ace Ventura and The Mask.
Mm.
I suppose The Mask was a comic book before.
Yeah.
Ace Ventura was a completely new property as far as I'm aware. And to get that many sort of stories out of them, I think is pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
Ace Ventura is quite cool. But I do remember particularly liking the Ace Ventura cartoon.
Mm.
Even though when we watched it back, it was just like, just constantly doing Jim Carrey catchphrase.
Yeah.
Catchphrases, sorry. Then, I mean, is there any that you remember watching a lot? I mean, it's like Jumanji I remember watching, but I don't really remember it.
Yeah, I remember watching Jumanji quite a bit. And, like, I think that was a cool one just because you saw so much more of, like, actually inside, you know, Jumanji, inside the game. It wasn't really from the – a lot of it wasn't from the sort of outside perspective.
And I think that's an interesting thing, isn't it? Like, you know, as a kid – you kind of, I remember being more interested about inside Jumanji.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought the film didn't have more of that in it.
And that's what made it captivating was like, you saw all those weird plants and stuff that they kind of hinted at and showed bits and pieces. And you really were seeing what it was like for a day in the life of Alan Parrish, like just trying to survive in the jungle and stuff. That was a really cool way of adding that. And the Men in Black series as well. I remember watching quite a bit of that.
Yeah.
And again, that's, I guess that's kind of a property that it's got the capacity to open up, and you do have kind of endless stories there because, I mean, you know, the film kind of sets it up of like, you know, that's just one case that these guys take care of, you know, and it's a huge universe of all these different bizarre things going on. So yeah, that was a good one where it was just kind of open to other weird things happening every episode.
And I think there's definitely a level of what when you watch something as a kid, kind of you're not as bothered about, you know, the classic story structures and
the
relationships between characters. You are just bothered about what you're seeing. And so, like Jumanji, you're like, oh, I just want to see in the game. I just want to see more aliens.
It means a big deal to you, doesn't it, when you're a kid? Just like having to see
that. Imaginative sign, isn't it? That
and
the same with Ghostbusters, I guess. You just want to see more ghosts.
Yeah, and that's what they did, didn't they? Like each episode was something. So you can see why it sort of captivates you. I guess it's definitely the ones that, you know, it makes sense for ones where they were the films itself were sort of like kid orientated. Like Ace Ventura is a weird one because the first one wasn't really like kid friendly, but then the second one was like the complete other way. You know, there's lots of like kid gags and stuff in there.
Yeah.
Like I remember that one like really clearly in my brain because I watched it a lot as a kid. Like, and that character like coming around to be like, you know, an iconic sort of like kids. Character.
Yeah, so and you wonder like how much of the second film was based on sort of the popularity of like cartoons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it did become a kids' film. Like you rewatch them and they're like two different films.
Yeah.
Like two different audiences.
Oh, definitely. It's such a strange way to do it.
Yeah.
But then some of these like RoboCop, like the. Like if you watched the opening scene of RoboCop as a kid, like you'd just be traumatized. Like it's to this day, it's still some of the most like graphic violence like that early on in a movie. So like I don't really get why they decided, you know, we're trying to market this to kids.
It's
really strange, but maybe some people have fond memories of the Rambo show. You know?
Well, it's like Friday.
Yeah.
Like I mean, we've not seen Fridays. Friday was made in 2007.
Mm.
So it could be a case that it was an adult animated series.
Yeah.
You know, it's less strange to have one in 2007. But a lot of these weren't adult animated.
What a weird like kind of long-term plan to sort of be like, yeah, we'll make like a graphically violent film and then we'll make a cartoon for it so that in 20 years' time, we'll have a bunch of new fans ready to go on the Rambo
side. It's like Starship Troopers.
Yeah, yeah.
An animated series called Roughnecks. And that's something where I remember watching the film and being a bit like, I probably shouldn't be watching this film.
Yeah.
Because I remember it's got like nudity in it. Not much, but there's a brief bit of nudity in it. I'm sure there is. And there's a fair bit of swearing in it.
Mm. It's very violent. Like it's.
I'm sure scary. It's a 15 at least.
Mm.
And then they come out with an animated series that was like some clapped out CG that looked really good at the time, but isn't now. And then you've got the really, really different ones. Mm. Did you ever watch Evolution?
I think I maybe did see a bit of Evolution. Yeah,
this was the film wasn't very popular.
No,
but I remember really enjoying it when it came out.
Yeah, I did.
The animated series, this might help you. It was called Alienators.
Oh,
Evolution Continues.
Alienators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy face with three eyes.
Yeah.
That was the Evolution logo.
I think I did see a bit of that.
Well, I remember it being completely different. Like they just took a bare bones approach and just did what they wanted.
Yeah, I think that's why I don't remember much of it. Like it doesn't, because it's not. Yeah, it's not like the film at all, is it? Like,
I think just to sort of, I guess, finish up on looking at all these shows before we kind of give our verdict. We've got to kind of mention Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because obviously, there's quite a few Star Wars series. There's the old ones. You've got Ewoks and droids.
Mm.
We've watched Ewoks.
Yeah, yeah.
Which somehow perhaps got a higher rating than it should have done.
Get ready for Toon Gem regrets.
Yeah. But, you know, I stand by my my love of the Ewoks. But then the newer ones, particularly like Clone Wars and Rebels. I mean, look, Clone Wars kind of, you know, it took the, it was set during the prequels, so between episode 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Which are films that, especially at the time, were particularly like disliked.
Yeah.
Now they're, you know, seeing people like them again because the kids have grown up and can say, actually, I like that.
Yeah.
Which I've no doubt, you know, in the same amount of time, give it 20, 30 years, the ones that have just come out will then be going through the same treatment.
That's it.
But these kind of gave them loads of gravity.
Oh, yeah.
Added loads. So the Clone Wars, the kind of Clone Wars in the films, you look at it and you're like, oh, it's kind of a shame, really, because, you know, that's a, it's a whole Star Wars era that you only see the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And you don't, I suppose it's one of those things where you might not really think that until you've watched Clone Wars and realize how much you've missed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, look at all the, and then you get, start getting loads of new characters, and same with Rebels, you know, some of the same characters pop up. There's new ones that are now appearing in the live action stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So they become really, you know, important characters.
Yeah.
To the overall, you know, canon. Or it's something like Star Wars that is important, isn't it? To like, it's a big fan base, and they're not. I mean, not all the series have been good. I think the majority of them have, but Star Wars Resistance, which wasn't very good.
Yeah, but I think Clone Wars is the first one that I remember where it was like you knew it was sort of important, like part of the story. Yeah. You know, like because some of these are just the throwaway. Like you even know as a kid, it's like, oh, they've just done a series of that, but you're not really that interested in it. But
before you know what canon is, you know it's canon.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Clone Wars was like, as it kept rolling and stuff, like you heard stuff about it and it was like, yeah, this is actually, it had credibility, didn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas like, like in a way that I don't think, you know, other sort of cartoon versions had before.
No.
I mean, Star Wars obviously as a brand is good at doing that anyway, like having all the different sort of like versions of it all feeding into the same thing. But
yeah,
that was notably one where it was like, oh, this is, you know, maybe you can do something a bit different. Like maybe there is an animated route for particular ones.
Yeah, and it was, because it's like, it's the first time anything like that had been done to that level.
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously, I mean, we watched the Star Trek animated series, which kind of came out of the fact that Star Trek got cancelled.
Yeah.
And is considered canon.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's a bit ropey. But it is considered canon. But obviously, when you watch them, they work like radio plays.
Yeah.
And as far as a cartoon goes, it's a bit like, well, I'm not really getting much out of it from that. Right. Whereas these are like, you know, the animations, you know, top of the range for the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, it's dated a little bit now, but not much. It's not old enough, I don't think.
No.
I'm sure one day it might do, but
isn't it like Genndy Tartakovsky that sort of like was the art director on the
film? Oh, so that was there's Star Wars The Clone Wars, and they're canon. And then there's the ones before, which were the Genndy Tartakovsky ones, which were
Star
Wars Clone Wars, which are equally really good, but also not canon.
Right, right.
So these are, they were really good, but some of the, I mean, if you're big in Star Wars and stuff, you might be like, yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. Well, that doesn't make sense.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a few bits that you're like, yeah, this is so stupid. Like, it doesn't play into what you know about Star Wars.
Right.
Like, but they're still really enjoyable and fun to watch. So,
yeah.
And they do add, like, it's the first time you sort of see one of the characters as Sarj Ventress sort of appear, like, properly. And she became a big character in the Clone Wars. So, you know, it did add loads of stuff at the same time.
Yeah.
Even if it's not canon, worth watching. But, yeah, I mean, they're massive. So that's when it's done well, but also included. It doesn't take over. It becomes part of it, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think that seems to be, just having the animation as an avenue for the story, or instead of it, going from one to the other necessarily. That seems to be the best way. But I mean, as well, really, you have got to consider whether your property makes sense, because some of the I'm kind of interested to see what the Rambo one is like what.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, that's where, leaving that. There's plenty of them where you're just kind of like, why?
Why did you do this?
Yeah. I can only think it is that they made Rambo toys that started to sell well.
Yeah.
Just because they were Sylvester Stallone sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then out of that came a cartoon.
That's it.
I guess that's something we can discuss in a future episode. We're going to be doing Rambo at some point, easy.
Yeah. Rambo's coming up.
Okay, well, we've sort of talked about all of them. Let's kind of conclude. Mm-hmm. Let's summarize what we've gone over. Obviously, from an animated point of view, you're basing it on an animated film. Mm-hmm. You're fairly safe in making it, and you can do different things with it. That being said, they still had to change things on an interesting level, I think.
I think you're safer if you know this ahead of time, aren't you, really? Like, if you think if you want to take a route where ideally you're not changing too much, like going in, so people know what they're arriving at, and then you can you do have the option to kind of expand the stories and tell different avenues and go down those different routes. And I think because you've got that extra time, it works out, doesn't it? Like, as a fan of whatever it is, it's nice to have that an extra few hours in the universe of the show.
Yeah, and it works. Like, you can. I think the Lion King sort of thing with Timon and Pumbaa is a good example of, if you are doing a prequel thing, you can concentrate on fan favorite characters.
Yeah.
And take it out without really having to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Because it's straightforward and their adventures. It's not like you're like, well, because they just don't, all they have to do is not include Simba.
Mm.
And then it's,
Timba. Then it's, you're sorted.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Whereas, when you've got the main characters from a film, like, I guess, Aladdin and Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Like, they even did a crossover, which starts to add all sorts of questions. Especially as a kid, you're just a bit like, what?
Yeah, that's...
These guys, they're around at the same time.
What is going on there?
That's insane.
Yeah.
Which obviously, if you really kind of tried to figure out when the films were set, they would not be around the same time. Not that it bothers you as a kid, but...
No.
Interesting. But as far as live action, that's a real different... I think most of those that are based on cartoon that we've seen are pretty much like, yep, that makes sense and it's good.
Yeah.
I don't think there's many there that you'd be like, no, that was actually, somehow they got it wrong.
No. But
yeah, the live action ones are where it becomes a bit up and down. So you've obviously got things that work really well, like the Ghostbusters. Mm. But then you've got things that don't work. Like, we didn't mention it, but obviously we covered it before, Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
We've not seen Rambo, but no one ever talks about the Rambo cartoon.
There's probably a reason for that.
Yeah, same with RoboCop. Probably things at the time that did help them sell toys and make money.
Yeah.
But they're very questionable. Police Academy, the animated series.
Yeah, what is that?
It's things that are pretty obvious. It's like, how did they make it past,
the censors and stuff?
Yeah. How did they make it past just the idea?
Very, very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has to be able to convert over into an animated show and therefore cater to, the right audience. I guess we have got a lot of adult animated shows now. So that transition can be a lot easier for the Rambo animated series. But I think, I guess if you keep your, tonally it's similar, you probably got a good chance of it working. Like Clerks, the animated series, for example.
Yeah.
It was a comedy. The series, like, you know, the animated series was very funny as well. So it's like, yeah, that's not a huge leap. Whereas going from 18 rated, like absolutely brutal violence to, hey kids, want to watch this? It's like, you're going to have some problems there, aren't you?
At yeah. The end of the day. And I think, you know, despite what people say, and I'll probably get some kickback for this at some point, a lot of 80s cartoons are garbage. Like from what we've watched, it's definitely, they're flying off nostalgia.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So when you see this, like things like RoboCop, and like, you know that they're not even going to be enjoyable to watch.
No.
It's very rare that any of them are any good. So again, just all nostalgia driven.
Yeah.
It's just a strange time, isn't it? The '80s for cartoons.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But I think going forward though, since the quality of, you know, TV in general has gone up, and, you know, we've seen some really high quality animations recently. Like, you know, we praised Maya and the Three a lot in the Jammy Awards, and the stuff like Arcane that's just doing crazy numbers and you know, visually looks like a real treat. You know, that this is opening up doors that, you know, maybe we'll get some pretty cool, you know, animated shows based on that do it right. That do actually, like, you know, you will refer to the series more than the film somewhere down the line.
And that's... So let's come down to the question: can the series outshine the movie? I guess in some respects, I would say yes, it can.
Mm.
Like I think things like when we talk Star Wars, Clone Wars, I think is a big part of that prequel era, because it's massive.
Oh yeah,
and the series, there's so much it adds to it. Ghostbusters, I think, is a huge, and I think it's actually sort of probably not mentioned enough.
No, very overlooked, yeah.
Yeah, for the popularity of Ghostbusters, I don't think the films are what's bringing a lot of the nostalgia, to be honest.
No.
It went on for a long time, that sort of, like that Ghostbusters, you know, love. It's, I mean, the animated series started in 86, ended in 91.
Right.
We were watching this when we were kids.
Yeah.
Which would have been in the 90s. And it definitely wasn't new films coming out, was it, that got us into it? So, you know, old toys passed down to us, new toys being made. It's definitely a big thing. So, yeah, I do think, in a way, you would say
it's
that...
It's rare.
It's rare, yeah.
It can happen, yeah.
It can happen. And I think in some cases, particularly with an animated, like, when it comes to the animated ones, I think it can add loads to it. And in a way, like Hercules, for me as a kid, really, like, I did prefer the series to the film.
Right, yeah.
I used to watch it all the time. And the same with a lot of the Disney ones.
Mm.
You know, I watched loads of the series. And I think because they catch on to what you wanted as a kid out of the, you know, what...
Yeah.
You know, Lilo and Stitch... I just want to know what, or as soon as he says 626 and the others have failed, as a kid, you're concentrating on the wrong things.
Yeah.
You're just like, well, what are the others like? And it's like, well, that's not the story. No, I don't care. What are they? And whereas the cartoon can do that, it can give you what you wanted as a kid.
That's it.
So yeah, in a way, for a kid, definitely, yes. Mm. And in some respects, it can. So there you go. Another cartoon conundrum.
Concluded.
So maybe you agreed with us, maybe you didn't. Feel free to get in touch with us on the three quibbling conundrums of the internet: Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Toon Jam Pod. Like I said before, you can catch our old episodes for many of the things we've discussed today over on our YouTube page, which again is Toon Jam Pod. And if you want some bonus materials for a little bit extra, you can head to our Patreon page. So just search for Toon Jam podcast on there. You'll find us. We also have a merchandise store, which is bit.ly/ToonJamShop. And if you enjoyed today's episode or any of our others, please feel free to rate and review us on whatever it is you listen to us on. It really, really helps us out. Or if you don't want to do that, an even easier way to help us out is to just share the podcast. easy peasy. Tell someone about it. But that's all we have time for. We'll be back again next week with some new cartoons to talk about. Mm-hmm. But until then, as always, you stay jammy.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. If you want to help the show keep going, you can be extra jammy by heading over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/toonjampod. Here you can get a shout out on the show or unlock bonus episodes. Ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to the podcast also really help us out. So thank you and stay jammy.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.